Good morning, everybody. God bless. Good to see you all. I want to start by thanking my brother, Tom Burke, for the wonderful privilege that it is to share God's word with you this morning and really get into some stuff that I've personally been endeavoring to grow in over the last few months and really my prayer for this body of Christ to grow in. But before we get after it, I'd like to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, beautiful day. Thank you for this body of Christ. Thank you for this beautiful word, this living and powerful word that's as living and powerful today as it was when it was first breathed thousands of years ago. God, I pray for every saint here and every saint listening that these words don't just go in one ear and out the other, that we can let them penetrate our hearts this morning, Father. And I pray that I don't quench the spirit and that you help me to deliver exactly what you want me to, Father. Let's have a wonderful morning. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Pressures, tribulations, persecution, trials. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced anything like that in this Christian life. Good. I should see nearly all your hands raised. Because this Christian life is not all sunshine and rainbows. We're going to face pressures. We're going to face trials. And that's especially true if we're endeavoring to live godly lives, right? Especially if we're endeavoring to live out our ministries. But this walk with God, it's more than just taking the hits. It's more than just grinding through day by day through the pressures. God and His Word has so much to say about our attitudes as Christians, and we're called to so much more than just grinding day by day through this pressure. He has so much to say on how we can function, how we can stand, and how we can thrive while we're still here on this earth. Sound like something you might be interested in? Good. That's what we're getting into. Let's start in Romans chapter 5, please. I'm going to be reading mostly out of the King James this morning, but I'll let you guys know when I switch it up. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, tribulation isn't the most commonly used word in today's English language. It's the Greek word, thlipsis. And the Strong's defines it as pressure, affliction, anguish, being burdened, persecutions, trials, troubles. That doesn't sound like rainbows and butterflies to me, does it to you? But it reads here in Romans 5 that we are to glory in tribulation, to glory in the pressure, like it's a good thing. Put a ribbon or a bookmark here. We'll come back. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. In their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, and other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. Katie Wolf did a wonderful overview of both 1 and 2 Peter about 6 weeks or so ago. I highly encourage you to listen to it. 1 Peter is absolutely loaded with how to live a holy life despite pressure. And it's all a part of this Christian life. Call it what you will, pressure, trials, tribulation, it's going to happen. And we shouldn't necessarily be shocked when it does. When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we became one with him. One in his death, one in his resurrection, one in his ascension, and now one in his sufferings as well. But what's the source? Where do these pressures, where do these tribulations come from? I think it's really important to call this out. And I can tell you this morning with 100% certainty, the pressures of this world do not come from our Heavenly Father. Tribulation does not come from our Heavenly Father, but he has a heck of a lot to say in his word about the good that can come from waiting on him, being patient with him, and waiting on his deliverance, right? So then what's the source? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. As you guys turn, I'm so grateful to be a part of this body of Christ for a number of different reasons. I think we do a great job of calling out on a semi-regular basis what we're up against in this life, the evil that's in this life, the enemy that we have while we walk on this earth. Because God makes it abundantly clear who our enemy is and why he does what he does. Earlier in my Christian life, I was admittingly rather ignorant of our enemy and why he does what he does. But we shouldn't be, because it's pretty clear in God's word. Before we get into 1 Peter chapter 5, there are several descriptors to call our enemy. I'm going to read a few. The devil, the murderer, a liar, the father of the lie, the accuser of the brethren, an adversary, the enemy, the tempter, the evil one, the opponent, a roaring lion, a slanderer, Satan. And this is not an all-inclusive list. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Greek word for adversary is antidikos, and that's a literal opponent, an enemy. He's God's enemy, he's God's direct enemy, and he's now our enemy. And he compares the devil here to a roaring lion. And what do lions do? They walk around, they roar, they claim where their territory is. They roar, letting everybody know who's in charge in this space. You don't have to turn here this morning, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it reads, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices or his purposes. We need not be ignorant of why the devil does what he does, what his purposes and motives are, the reasons we're tempted, the reasons we're pressured. And in case you've forgotten what motivates our enemy, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, here in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to become saved and all to come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, our God, or our adversary, is in direct opposition of the purposes of our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father's twofold desire is, number one, for all to become saved. And number two, for all to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our enemy doesn't want us to be lights in this world. We have a job to do while we're still here, and that's to spread the gospel message. He doesn't want any more Jesus Christ-like people walking on this earth. He doesn't. And he certainly doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want us to come to a knowledge of the truth. Remember, our enemy is in direct opposition of God and thus in direct opposition of what our purposes are, our ministries, our preaching of the gospel. And we need to be able to confidently say that we know why he does what he does. So now that we've put into remembrance what we're up against and why, there are a couple different ways that we can handle pressure and tribulation in this world. And the first is to get discouraged, get bummed out, get fearful, turn inward. But that's not what we're called to. That's how the world responds to pressure. That's how the world responds to things, but it's not what we're called to. The second way, and the much better way, is to turn to our Heavenly Father, a loving God, a mighty God, a powerful God that promises to deliver. Back to Romans 5, please. Romans chapter 5, I'll start in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's word here says we are to glory in tribulation, glory because of the difficulty, glory because of the pressure. But why? If we meet tribulation with faith, something incredible is going to happen. We have the opportunity to grow. We have the opportunity to mature. Many of you know my earthly job as a physical therapist. And part of my job as a physical therapist is I get to inflict pressure on my patients. And the pressure that I get to inflict is via exercise, weight training, strength and conditioning. And it's not easy. I've had some of you as patients. That's not easy, right? The 3 sets of 5, the 5 sets of 10. It's not easy. It's designed to be difficult. But on the other side of all that pressure, something great happens, right? Muscles grow. Muscles get stronger. Our tissues get more resilient against injury, right? How much greater do we have it in this Christian life that when we're met with pressure, evil from our adversary, what's going to be built is Christian maturity. We're going to grow in patience, hope, right? How wonderful is that? We get to get bigger, faster, and stronger in our faith. And who does all the heavy lifting? Our Heavenly Father does. That's like having the world's greatest personal trainer or spotter that does all the lifting, and you're the one that gets fit. How wonderful is that? How wonderful do we have it? That we have the opportunity to grow. James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. I'll start in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In this testing of our faith, we have a choice to make. Choose what God's word has to say, choose what God has to say, or choose what the world, my flesh, or the devil has to say. And I can be joyful in what this situation can build in my life right now. Here in James 1, it doesn't say count it all joy despite temptations. It's talking here about an addition, an added benefit, something that we're going to grow in. If I meet pressure and trials with faith, it's going to build something in my life that wasn't there before. It's going to build patience. Back to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. First Peter 5, we'll start in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You will come out of the situation that you are in. You will come out of the pressure that you're dealing with stronger than you first started. The trial is an opportunity to prove your faith, to prove God. And at the end, you're the one that's going to grow. Can we have joy in that? How wonderful is that? Back up to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yes, he's our enemy. Yes, he's a devil. Yes, he's a roaring lion. But it doesn't read here in verse 9, whom you cower and fear over for a particular period of time. It says to what? It says to resist. And resist him in what? In the faith. And we're not alone. The enemy wants us to think and feel like you are the only person going through what you're going through right now. I'll take it a step further. He wants you to think and feel that you're the only person that's ever gone through what you're going through right now. And you laugh, but he is a liar. He is a slanderer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our enemy doesn't want us to reach out to another brother or sister in Christ for help. He doesn't want us to be prayed for. He doesn't want us to seek counsel. He wants us to stay in whatever pressure and whatever inward matter that you're in right now. He wants to keep you there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And check this out. Whom comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Not only does God comfort me when I am in my pressure, when I am in my tribulation, but how cool that I'm able to comfort you when you're facing trials and tribulations and pressure. And we need each other. We're blessed. Look around. We have a beautiful body of Christ. And we need each other desperately. And if you're going through something today, something that maybe another saint or your fellowship isn't necessarily aware of, before you leave those doors today, before you leave this building, I highly encourage you to get taken care of. We have a wonderful body of saints. Look to your left, look to your right. If at a minimum we pray for you, you're going to get taken care of. And why do that? Because that's the last thing the enemy wants. The last thing he wants us to do is get vulnerable with one another and take care of one another and encourage one another. And I'll take it a step further. During our conversation with one another, you know, a lot of us are Midwesterners. We like to talk about the weather and, and work and the Buckeyes, but I wouldn't ask about that now. How is your faith? Brian, what's pressuring you right now? We should be able to be vulnerable enough to talk to each other at that level, to take care of one another. And again, why? Because the enemy wants to keep us down. And that's not what we're called to as Christians. Let's take a look at Jesus Christ. John 16, please. John 16, and we'll be at the end of the chapter. I believe we heard some of these words in manifestations this morning. And here, Jesus is chatting it up with his disciples. Here in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And there it is. There's a guarantee. Tribulation and pressure, it's going to happen. It's a promise. Our enemy has authority over this world, over this age, over this time period. And part of living in this world is the devil is going to make it rather uncomfortable for us to live in while we're here. But Jesus speaks here that despite that pressure, we can have what? Peace. We can be of good cheer. Because he's overcome the world. And in, are we in Christ? Yes, praise God. So we have also overcome the world. Matthew 4, please. I'm going to be reading the beginning of Matthew chapter 4. And there's a descriptor here used for our enemy, and that's devil. And the Greek word for devil is diablos, or a slanderer. And a slanderer is another one of those words that I don't commonly use in my regular English language. But a slanderer is one who makes false and demanding statements about others, picks holes in others, riddles one with accusations, one who attempts to divide or separate through words or statements. Let's hear what the slanderer tries to do here. In Matthew 4, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the NIV here as well. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me." Last week, Josh Thomas gave a beautiful teaching and an overview on Revelations. And he called Jesus the baddest man to ever live. Here in verse 10, let's read about what the baddest man who's ever lived says to the devil. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil did what? He left him. And angels came and attended him. Man, what clear, slanderous activity by our enemy as he tempts Jesus here. And what an incredible example by our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the question I ask, I've been asking myself, and now that I ask all of you, do we know the Word of God? Do we fully know the truths and promises in His Word? Because Jesus did. And another question. Was Jesus a victim here? No. Furthest from it. He was not a victim here. And neither are we. You know, last week, we remembered the precious blood shed and body broken of our Lord Jesus Christ as we took communion. Each and every one of you that have now believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is the unaltered standard of perfection and righteousness that was bought by that precious blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't pay for us to be victims. God didn't plan for us to be victims. Do we have the Spirit of God within us now? Is it a spirit of fear? Weakness? Feeling sorry for ourselves? No, we have the Spirit of the Most High God, and we can walk out in that in confidence. Yes, we're going to be pressured. Yes, we're going to be tempted. But He hasn't left us alone, and we've been well equipped now. And nothing can separate us from God. Can we have joy in that? Can that bring me peace? Can that give me confidence? Absolutely. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. A familiar section to, I think, a lot of you. This is the parable of the sower here. And Jesus is talking about how the word is received to certain types of individuals. I'm going to read out of the NIV here as well. In verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown." Again, a question that we need to ask ourselves is, how rooted are we in God's word? When the pressures of this life come in, are we blown about by the wind, by the pressure, and we're choked out? We're blessed by the teachings that we hear in this beautiful space, this beautiful building, but as soon as we walk out those doors, get in our car and hit drive, it's gone. How rooted are we in this beautiful word? Because if we do know the word, we know what it says, and if we let it penetrate our hearts, there will be joy. There will be peace. There will be fruit. No matter what the world, the flesh, or our enemy throws at us. How about the Apostle Paul? He didn't have any pressure during his walk, did he? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. I think in manifestations we also heard to rise up, learn my word. And we need to. We need to hear it and be remembered. Even if we've heard it 100 times, we need to put it on the forefronts of our minds. Let's read about Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Did Paul suffer any persecution during his walk? I'd say he did. But he endeavored to live a godly life. He could have chose to live a quiet life, but he chose to do what? He chose to move the word. He chose to live out his ministry. If you'd like to read on further about Paul, I encourage you to read the book of Acts this week. He didn't choose to live a quiet life. He chose to live out his ministry and spread the gospel. And along the way, as he was directed, he healed people. He cast out devil spirits. Of course he was going to come across some pressures. He was doing some magnificent things for our Father. Do each of us have a ministry to live out? Absolutely. And we're directed to preach the gospel as well. So we too are going to face pressures. Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. I'm going to read that again. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Troubled on every side. I've faced some pressures in my walk as a Christian, but to say I've been pressured on every side, everywhere you look, there's pressure. At every turn, there's pressure again. I don't know that I can say that. But Paul says here, pressure on every side. And he doesn't say that he's just joyful. He says, exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Exceeding joyful when there's pressure and tribulation at any turn. How wonderful is that? We can choose to do exactly what Paul did. We can choose to walk exactly like he did, trusting in our Heavenly Father, staying clung to him constantly. We can also turn away, turn inward. Will God still love us if we do? Absolutely, praise God. Are we still righteous if we do? Absolutely, praise God. How much more would God do when we're in our tribulation, when we're in our pressure, if we would constantly look to him and stay put on his promises, stay put on what he's told us in his word, and not back down? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. I don't know about you all, but I'm endeavoring to magnify and increase the God that delivers much, much more than the pressure that I'm facing, the weight of the pressure that's going on. Because at times I've let that pressure rise up. When we have a beautiful Heavenly Father, a powerful, strong Heavenly Father that we can magnify in the moment of pressure when it comes. Let's continue in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I've said it a number of times here this morning, but we shouldn't be shocked or we shouldn't be surprised when pressure comes our way, right? The devil does not want the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be proclaimed. If he can throw something in our way that'll knock us off course or frustrate us, he's going to do it. Whether that's a flat tire or issues at work or somebody cutting you off on 270 and throwing hand gestures out the window, whatever it is to throw you off in what you are directed to do, he's going to try to do it because we have a job to do while we're here on this earth. And I want to be one that leans on our Heavenly Father. We want to be ones that trust in that living and powerful God and see his deliverance, not drawing back from his goodness. Psalm 23. Start from the top. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A familiar psalm to a lot of us, I know. My daughter, Amelia, has a major fear of bees. And for that matter, it's turned into any flying insect. As soon as she sees a bee, she's fearful, she panics, and she doesn't know what to do. And this is something that Sarah and I are working on her regularly. But that fear that she has pushes her to Sarah and I immediately, where she looks to us for wisdom, looks to us for comfort. And just like a sheep to a shepherd, when we're faced with the tribulations of this life, when that big bad dog starts to bark, or that lion begins to roar, it should do nothing but drive us closer and closer to our Lord. It should do nothing but have us clinging to our Heavenly Father. And while we're clinging to Him, comforted by Him, we can look back at that pressure and tribulation and say, this is evil, this is big, this is tribulation, but I can't wait to see what my Heavenly Father does for me now. I can't wait to be delivered from this. Can we have confidence in that? Yeah. Can that bring me joy despite pressure? Certainly. Just like a sheep, when a sheep encounters a bear or danger, they go directly back to their shepherd. We are to do the same thing. Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27, from the top. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know how you can even read these words or say them honestly unless you're looking to God. And we have to choose to be patient. We have to choose to be patient to wait on our Heavenly Father. But isn't He deserving of our patience to wait on Him? Absolutely. And He says He will deliver us, strengthen us, and He will, because He is a faithful God. He is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. A month or two ago, our sister Joanne Walker taught on delighting and living a life with God, and I quoted her, and that we need to level up our expectations of our Heavenly Father, and I couldn't agree more with that statement. We know that when we go to our Heavenly Father early and often, when we're in the middle of tribulation, we're blessed. We're taken care of. And that's going to be awfully unusual to the rest of the world. When we're joyful and we're peaceful during tribulation, people of the world will shake their heads and go, "What's wrong with Jake?" Tell them why. Tell them why you have so much peace. You have, and real peace too, not the fake stuff. Tell them why you have joy. It's because I have a wonderful, powerful Heavenly Father who's given me promises, and He will deliver me. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll read out of the NIV here in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. We're always to trust in God with all of our heart. We should especially trust in God with all of our heart when we're faced with pressure and tribulation. And I admit, in my life, there's been plenty of times where I've leaned on my own understanding. I've leaned on my own strengths. I've leaned on my own wisdom. And where has that gotten me? Absolutely nowhere. I'm not growing in patience. I'm not growing in experience. I'm not growing in hope. In fact, the opposite is probably happening when I do that, right? Trust in God. Let Him do not just the heavy lifting, but all of the lifting. And He will make our path straight. All I do in my flesh is screw it up. Let Him make our path straight. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though there will be trials, there will be pressure, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even death, we are more than conquerors. No matter how hard this life gets, maybe we will be surrounded on all sides with pressure. We can be of good cheer, like Paul was. We've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now even death cannot separate us. That gives me joy despite the pressure, and I hope that gives you joy as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, here in verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you compare the weight of the pressure in this life to the weight of eternal glory, they do not compare. The weight of that pressure is so light. when you compare the amount of time that we're going to spend in tribulation, the amount of time that we're pressured during this Christian walk on earth, you compare that to the eternity with God, it's such a light amount of time. It's such a fraction, such a tiny blip of time. When we recognize what God's word says about eternity, all this pressure, it's just a moment. And we can have joy knowing that we have this incredible hope in the Lord's return. And this can give me joy despite the tribulation that we're in. We're going to close this morning in 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, and we'll read verse 10 again. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whatever the pressure, whatever the suffering, whatever you're going through, do we have a good God that's deserving of our patience? Does he say he will deliver us? Absolutely. Of course there's going to be pressure. We're on Jesus Christ's team now. We're not from this world. We're going to suffer pressure while we're here, while we're doing some incredible things like preaching the gospel and living out our ministries. So let's have joy in tribulation. No, I'll take it a step further. Let's have exceeding joy in tribulation. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. I pray again that you let them penetrate our hearts. And God, how good do we have it that despite the pressure that we have in this life, you've promised us just so much. I thank you for strengthening us. I thank you for always being here. And I thank you for that precious blood of Jesus Christ that did not pay for these saints to be victims. And I pray that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.